Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Greetings and salutations, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Old Fannie Mouye with you. Danny Rouye, Randy Douye to the layperson. GP should be along in a little while. He's in an undisclosed location doing undisclosed things. We'll let him talk about those things if and when he is ready and able. But it's all good. Hanging out with you guys until 6:30 tonight, a fully armed and operational battle station. Nick Shook joins us at 3:25. A guy you guys probably know and remember. He was on our radio program last year all season long and was awesome, both on the air with us and last year as a football player. Austin Eckler joins us at 5 p.m. Looking forward to catching up with him. There's going to be touches for old Austin Eckler out of the Washington 53's backfield. How are we going to do it? How's he going to keep himself healthy? Just outlook looking into this year, et cetera. He was great on a, I can't remember which podcast it was, but I sent it around to the guys. Ross Tucker's podcast. Thank you, Darius. That's why you're Darius, man. He was on Ross Tucker's podcast, gave some really thoughtful, excellent answers about, you know, offseason, on-paper teams, et cetera. And Ross asked him a question about closing the gap with the Eagles, and he's like, how do you know what the gap is? No one has any idea right now. It's, you know, heavily into the offseason, and in theory, we're going to try to. They were Super Bowl champions, not taking anything away from them, but how the group goes in a given year with injuries and everything else in between, just really thoughtful answers. And that's who Austin Eckler is, and we love talking to him. So we'll do that at 5 o'clock. A couple other things we want to hit as this show goes. I've already had a couple marquee moves in the association. Star players, guys you've heard of, are being traded. We'll go through those as well. The NBA draft is tomorrow. I got to get to this here, and I'll do it in a second. There's a profile of Ace Bailey, who is now the number one intrigue player in this draft. I was talking to our boss a little bit ago. He is the ultimate, talking about Bailey, not our boss. Bailey's the ultimate get-you-fired guy. He's the get-you-fired guy. You draft him, could get you fired. Just because, like, you could just have our first practice is tomorrow, and he's, like, in another country, just doing something on his own. Or he's the guy you pass on who's putting up 26, 6, and 5 for somebody as a rookie and wins Rookie of the Year, and you passed on him. Really, really hard to evaluate. It's why I don't get paid very much money, and the guys that make those decisions do. So we'll talk about that profile here in a moment. We'll talk about the potential of a villain, quite frankly, coming to play for your hometown team. Talk about the guy that was the hardest for you to root for. I've got a number of those dudes. Here's a hint from me. It's Jaromir Jagr. Ruined my time. Then came here and ruined my time. Then went elsewhere and ruined my time. One of my least favorite professional athletes in history. And he's like still scoring goals in some league I've never heard of at like age 54. Plenty of other things. Talk some football as well in terms of some of the lists. We're in list season, et cetera. I've got a list for you here just off the bat in terms of star power for the local 53. But I got to get to this right off the bat. Speaking of that, see what I did? The pun intended there. The Nationals. West Coast baseball is the worst. I hate it so much. My baby doesn't care. And that's not one of those like baby doesn't care. I actually have a baby. We have a 5-month-old. He doesn't care when they play. He wakes up when he wakes up. So old Fannie Mouye is exhausted, falling asleep, watching these games deep into the night. So I missed James Wood, his home run live. As I get into bed after, you know, dragging a toothbrush across my stupid teeth, lying awake, and I go, oh, let me just check the score. And I missed the fact that he hit that bomb. Of course, seen it since. But here's what it sounded like late last night in front of the San Diegans.
Nats trying to tack onto their 6-3 lead. Here's the set. The kick in the 1-0. Wood drives one. Deep right field. It's hooking toward the corner. Will it stay fair? It hits the foul pole. It's a home run. James Wood bangs it off the foul pole for a 3-run shot. The Nationals blow it wide open as they lead it 9-3.
That's our little prince. That's our 6'7 prince. I love him so much. He is wonderful. Tobes, I'm going to tag you in here for a second. Tobias Funke is with us in his normal post. I'm in a very weird place with the Nationals right now, and this is just me talking to you, Toby, and then to you guys out there in Radioland. Like, I haven't forgotten about the losing streak, right? They lost 11 straight. And while they were losing, I basically said, it's not too long before stuff like this happens, where all of a sudden they're the greatest offensive team in the world again. They go out west, so now their bats work in this time zone. Anytime you've got Josh Bell ripping an RBI single and then hitting a home run right-handed, which he has not done this year, you know, like things are going well. The same way when James Wood goes 0-for-9 hitting balls a million miles an hour and guys are getting doubled off bases, that things are not going well. Good luck, bad luck. This is the inevitable sort of ebb and flow of the season. I haven't gotten over the losing, the mischaracterization of what this season was going to be, the disappointment of the past offseason. It's not a healthy place to be as a fan where I'm not like on a binary. I guess I'm glad they won and I want them to play well. I want good things for the kids, but I'm not, it's like I haven't forgotten yet. I'm still angry.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, the month of June has been horrendous for this baseball team after an encouraging month of May, and it kind of took them from being relevant, and even if they weren't going to legitimately fight for a wild card spot, I don't think anyone thought that when they were just a couple games under 500. Basically, with losing 11 in a row, the rest of this season, regardless of what they do, feels irrelevant. Like, they could go on an 8-game winning streak, and they're still well below 500.
Right. And which that's they, not which likely they to happen. Did, which they yeah. did several times. I pointed this out during the streak. They lost 6-7 at one point. Lost 8-9 at one point. I think that little road trip when they went to Atlanta, lost a million times, lost first couple games after that, and then crawled back within a game or two of 500. I've already done this dance. They're going to play better baseball. And there's going to be setbacks. You play the Dodgers, you look like you're wearing the gloves on the wrong hand. But still, there's ebbs and flows to this thing. But that's why they play so many damn games. There's a million teams right now that are within 5 games of 500. Good streak, bad streak. You see the Red Sox, it's a disaster. They lost 2 or 3. See the Giants, they're on a hot streak. They've won 4 or 5. It's all the same. It takes longer, months of attrition and injuries and the Triple A Timmy coming up to fill in. How good is that guy compared to the next organization's guy, et cetera, for really to get some pack separation. So there's a lot of teams in that that muddy kind of middle is the word I'm looking for. And the Nats aren't. And like, I don't know. I'm not even really sure what I'm trying to say. I just know that I wasn't as happy as I should have been last night. We're like, oh, nice, the breakout finally came.
I mean, even for the people that didn't expect them to do what Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez were preaching in spring training, saying this is going to be a winning ball club, you still expected improvement over 71 wins. Are they going to finish with, what, 72? So it's technically improvement? Like, it doesn't
unless they do what
like...
they've done and they sell, you know, Finnegan, Nathaniel Lowe, mm-hmm. a couple guys, which, by the way, I would advocate for, but I know that, God forbid, you move on from some dudes and try to restock things because you're trying to deliver on some message that you're trying to wish cast it to come true that they're going to be better than they were before.
Yeah, I think this West Coast road trip came at the perfect time for them where they can get away and you go out to Dodger Stadium and no one cares that the Nationals are in town. You go out to play the Padres and coincidentally those teams had just played each other not that long ago and that's the big rivalry in baseball right now is Dodgers and Padres. So when you go into Dodger Stadium, it's like, okay, like we're going to win 2 or 3 of this series, no big deal. And you go into San Diego and they don't care that the Nationals are coming to town, so you're not getting booed every time you walk up to the plate. And so they're kind of on their own little island, almost like a retreat of sorts where this team can kind of get back to playing better baseball and they can just be around each other and lock in again. So hopefully this road trip comes at the right time that they can refocus and get things back on track. But regardless, when you lose 11 in a row and you're already under 500, It's disappointing when you felt like this season was going to be fun for the entirety. Now, because you're so far behind, unless something miraculous happens, you're just going to be playing losing baseball the rest of the year.
Yeah. Always appreciate it, Tubbs. NBA draft is tomorrow. We're going to have a short show, unfortunately, before the draft, which is kind of a bummer. But anyway, we will cover it wall to wall. We're getting you as much detail as possible. And in that vein, Kevin Armstrong of NJ.com, New Jersey Advanced Media, wrote an excellent in-depth profile of Ace Bailey, who's only 18 years old, who's in this NBA draft. He is one of the, again, mercurial focal points. He's one of the ultimate eye of the beholder players. And I said this at the top. He's the get-you-fired guy. You can watch a game of his. You can watch highlights of his. And you're going to go, oh, my God. Right? I think he's the second most talented player in this draft. Is that fair to say? Second most talented? guys buy that. I think Flag is one. Both, they're both 18-year-old kids. But Flag's got everything, right? I don't know if he's got a 10 out of 10 skill set, but he's got a bunch of 7s, a bunch of 7.5s, a bunch of 8s. He could do a little bit of everything on a basketball court. Bailey, and I know he's not 6'10", which is what he was listed as at Rutgers. Let's say he's 6'7", 3/4", 6'8". I don't care that much. We're learning how irrelevant that is at certain spots. It's about the skill set. It's about, you know, offensive diversity. It's about being able to switch and guard multiple guys. You can watch a game of his, and you go, this dude is incredible. He's making these super stupid, high degree of difficulty shots. One-on-one on the wing. A double team is approaching. He stepped back on a step back. And, you know, the Harden step back is now the base Bailey step back, where he's going sideways and backwards and falling out of bounds, and he drills a shot. Time after time after time. And you're going, these degree of difficulty shots are really hard, right? The other side of that is you're going, why are we doing this? Why are we taking these high degree of difficulty shots against dudes from Northwestern? Why are we struggling to get our shot off against Ohio State? Why can't we get going against Minnesota? Right? He's about to go up against NBA players. You're going to do that against Lou Dort? You're going to do that against, you know, Cason Wallace or Pascal Siakam when he's D'ing you up? You're going to take that shot? So he's a dude that you go, oh my God, the talent. That weighs way more heavily than anything else. The talent will fix him, right? I think it was Varun Shankar we had on the other day, covers the Wiz for the Post, who said he's the will fix him guy. He needs coaching desperately, by the way, as this profile kind of tells me, where if you get him with a Danny Hurley, or if you get him with one of these disciplinarians who is going to say it's my way and that's it, he could have changed his profile or his game a little bit and probably been a more successful complete basketball player. Right now, and it's okay, he's an 18-year-old kid. I'm not trying to slam the gavel and tell you he'll never be good. My point is, as an 18-year-old kid right now, he is not a winning basketball player. Another lottery pick, the kid that's going second at Rutgers, and again, they're struggling to beat the dregs of the Big Ten. Should not be happening. You get two guys that are going to the top five or top six, I need you to finish third in the conference or fourth or be a tournament team. And they weren't. They weren't close to being that. So, and a lot of it's on him, and it's probably not fair. I mean, Harper probably deserves some of the blame, too, talking about Dylan Harper, Ron Harper's kid. He's fantastic. I'm a huge fan of his. He's going 2 overall to the Spurs, probably. But for Bailey, he's an eye of the beholder guy, as we've kind of gone through. So his agent is a dude named Omar Cooper. And the reason we know that now, A, from this story, but sort of B, there's been a strange process, I would say, with Ace Bailey's pre-draft type deal. A guy that was viewed, again, as the second most talented player in the class, who was consensus probably going 2 or 3 to somebody. Now, you see him mocked to 6. You see him mocked sliding out of the top 10 because of what's happening with these workouts, the pre-draft process. My alarm bells go off when somebody who's not 1-1, right? Now, if Cooper Flagg was doing some of this stuff, I'd go, I don't love that for him. Like if Caleb Williams was agitating to not go one place or another, I go, that's annoying. As long as you ultimately play ball, fine. He's not doing that, and he's not the first pick, not the second pick, not the third pick. He's trying to manipulate some things. And under the guidance of his agent, this dude named Omar Cooper. It sort of rubs me the wrong way, where you think you're too good, you're too special for the process, that a lot of guys, frankly, who have better resumes than you have just gotten along and recognize that it's a privilege to go to the NBA. I know that's probably not fair as a sports fan. It's probably not a fair thing to make those kind of judgments. But just still, instinctively, I kind of go, you're not the 1-1. You're not that special that you can manipulate. You'd rather go 8 to Brooklyn than 6 to Washington or whatever the case happens to be. Well, look at this. I'm going to read from this story. Cooper, talking again, his agent, Omar Cooper. Cooper says anything short of Bailey going number 1 would be uncivilized. Scouts inquire about the prospect's relationship with Cooper, who was indicted for possessing a machine gun and a black short Uzi clip in 2003, a decade after being charged with attempted murder and possession with intent to distribute cocaine on or by school property. While weapons and murder charges were dismissed, he served 6 months in Mountain View State Prison for a cocaine conviction, according to court records. Decades into a personal rebrand, Cooper is not a certified agent, and his lifestyle sports agency does not have another NBA client. He has an FBI number in court records and has been coy regarding Bailey's pre-draft workouts and canceled one with the 76ers last week, keeping the league guessing about whether a deal for Bailey to a certain team is already in place, or Cooper, known for his stoic look and controlling nature, is overplaying his hand. Quote, "He's been showing me the path in every way," Bailey says, "on and off the court." End quote. Whew. Right? You see what I'm saying? Somebody is going to have to take that risk. And that, again, I'm not telling you that Bailey's a bad kid or that Cooper's a bad dude. He may have actually turned his life around, by all accounts. Not a certified agent, I would offer, is kind of a, it's not a white flag. It's not a green one. I think it's the color of those nice roses for Valentine's Day. A little rojo, right? But it doesn't mean that you should be eliminated from your board. The point is, there are some signs, and somebody's going to take the risk. And I don't know if I could. But somebody, a GM, is going to have the chutzpah to make him their first-round selection, probably in the top 10, maybe in the top 5, top 6. And here we go, right? Let's buckle up and ride. Let's do it. It sounds like, at best, immaturity, which is allowed for an 18-year-old. At worst, I don't know. But this needs to be one of those times where you earn your medal as a scout, as an assistant GM, as a GM, as a president of basketball, or whatever. But I found this profile, again, really good. I linked to it earlier at Funny Danny on the old Twitterverse. And it's a really, really good read about a guy that's drawing the most attention in this NBA draft. So I went on a little too long about that. But let me give you where we're going to start the program. All right? It is here. Pete Prisco did his top 100 NFL players. This is list time. We are in it. Yes, we all get that. Jaden Daniels was 33rd overall. Terry McLaurin was 81 overall. And Bobby Wagner, future gold jacket wearing, maybe NFL commissioner Bobby Wagner, was 88 overall. Those are the three players in the top 100. Other teams had more, as you'd imagine, right? Some of the high-end teams, the Eagles are going to have more. The Lions have more. 49ers still have more at this stage. So I understand all that. Jaden Daniels was 33rd on this list. And I imagine with the arrow trending up. So again, it's not 33rd quarterback. It's 33rd. So the best, best right guard is probably ahead of you. The best left tackle, the best wide out, etc., right? His number, his arrow trending up, everybody gets it. So the question here at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We know and love our guys that are here. We know and love Terry McLaurin. We know and are getting to love Bobby Wagner, right? Really, really good player. Really, really productive. May have lost a step. So what? I'll take what I got from Bobby Wagner indefinitely. As long as he wants to give it, I will happily take it, right? But the question is Daniels their only star? You see the star power. He's at the Fanatics Conference. You get lines around the block. His trading cards are going for $500,000. Jaden Daniels is a bona fide star. You're on primetime not because you drafted Josh Connerly. You're in primetime not because of Trey Amos, respectfully to those guys. You're in primetime because Jaden Daniels, man. Is he their only star? Do they have enough high-end talent to help sustain? This year is going to be more difficult. I think we know that, right? I know maybe the occasional Homer Simpson isn't quite aware of it, but you're going to face, on paper, and who knows what happens in terms of injury and the way teams are playing, when you play them, et cetera. But the schedule's more tough, I'm sure that's a phrase. It's tougher on paper, and you may not get some of the luck. We talked about some of the good fortune they had last year. I know a lot of folks got defensive about that, but they did. They were fortunate in a number of metrics. It happens all the time with health. And a team, think of Ron Rivera's first year where they were 7-9. They got really lucky when instead of facing a healthy Dak Prescott, they faced Ben DiNucci. I'd rather face Ben DiNucci, respectfully, than Dak Prescott in a football game, right? Sometimes you get the benefit of those deals. So it's going to be a tougher road ahead. Do they have enough high-end talent to navigate that? I'll give you my answer when we come back, but I want yours as well. 800-636-1067. Two-parter here. Is Daniels their only star? And do they have enough high-end, what I think of as blue-chip talent for the Local 53? Do they have enough? 800-636-1067.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey, Danny, where can I check out the poll of the day? That's a great question, radio listener. We put that poll of the day up every single day. It's Grant Danny's poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. In this radio program you're listening to, it's Grant and Danny. We're brought to you by the law firm of Condori and Morad. What are you guys doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. So the question we posed before the old commercial break hit was, does this team, talking about the Local 53, have enough top-end talent? Blue chippers, whatever you want to call it, right? Pete Prisco did a top 100 list. And most of the teams that you think you're competing with in that not quite 13-14 win range, the second tier down, that 9.5-10.5 win range, right, in terms of the Vegas over-unders. Most of those teams, have more guys on this list, right? We're just sort of used to that. San Francisco has two dudes in the 30s, for example. Baltimore's got a whole bunch. So, you know, you're kind of looking at that higher level, the Philadelphias, the Buffaloes, the Baltimores, and they've got a whole mess of guys in there. Teams like Washington, my contention is they don't have enough blue chip guys. A huge part of that, the biggest reason for that, quite frankly, is Rivera, Marty, all those guys stunk at finding high-end talent. There are a couple guys that they found that are nice pieces that are still here. B.A. Sam Cosmi, Quan Martin turned into a nice player, etc. I'm not here for nothing. Nice players, you need those. They fill out your roster. They help you, right? But I'm talking about finding them blue chippers. None of their first-round picks are still here. They inherited Terry McLaurin, who was the best player for them, and is one of the best players, not named Jaden Daniels, here now. Daniels is a high-end blue-chip talent. We all agree? All in favor say aye. Aye. All opposed? Pipe down. Right? Yes. Blue chipper. Do they have another one? Do they have another blue chip player? You could argue McLaurin, and I think I will argue on behalf of McLaurin, but even by the best estimate, what's the kindest estimate of a ranking for Terry McLaurin? A guy that's never had, 1,300 yards. A guy that one time has gone for double-digit touchdowns. And it always sounds like I'm knocking Terry McLaurin. I'm not. He's wonderful. I love him. He's our sweet little prince. Sign him. Let's get this done. He's my guy. I can't wait to, years from now, induct him into our ring of fame. He's going to be second or third in almost every receiving category by the time he's done here. Awesome player. But we can all acknowledge that he's not Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb and company, right? What's the kindest, biggest Terry Homer, where would they put Terry McLaurin in the receiver rankings? 7th, do you think? Top of your head? Behind, an Amon-Ra St. Brown, maybe behind a CeeDee Lamb, behind an A.J. Brown. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That's really good. So I argue he's your second blue chipper. And I know that Bobby Wagner was on the all-pro list last year. That was fun. I love Bobby Wagner. I'm very pro Bobby Wagner. His influence, his Daniels buddy cop movie that they do every week. They're friends. I love that so much. I don't know that he's Zach Bond. I don't know that he's, still the same dude. I mean, that's a gold jacket. That's Bobby Wagner. Nothing but reverence, okay? Star, awesome player. May not be the same as he was for the majority of his Hall of Fame career. I think that's okay. I'll take whatever version I get of him. But I guess my question to you guys is, and I challenge you, do they have enough high-end players? Because those are the three that made Prisco's top 100 list. Do they have enough blue chippers? I don't know that they do. And that's my big gripe. Gripe's not the right word. That's my fear. That's my worry. I talk about this all the time. There are certain sports and certain moments in sports. If you guys are basketball fans, you know what I'm talking about. Baseball, to me too, has this to a degree. You know, you're on a losing streak, so you give the ball to Max Scherzer. You're on a losing streak, so Randy Johnson's pitching. You go, thank God, right? In his prime. Or this guy's up, he'll fix it. In basketball, the play that we were running didn't work. There's 6 seconds on the shot clock. You've got the ball, star player, 28 feet from the rim. Do we get anything good out of the possession or not? That's what a star does, right? Every once in a while, you get, you know, Lou Dort in that game 7 where he is falling away and he throws up that prayer trying to hit the roof and it goes in. You go, okay, but I'm not talking about that. You guys know possession in, possession out. It's that when nothing's working for Boston, Jason Tatum's going to get you a bucket. When nothing's working, Giannis is going to play bully ball. When nothing's working, LeBron could do something or Jordan could do something. The greats to ever play this game, they fix it. Blue chip players fix it. When things aren't going well, the blue chip player goes, I got it. I'll fix it. I'll handle it. I'll make the play. Right? Think Chicago. Think Hail Mary. Nothing much happening for a while in that game. But we got Jaden Daniels. I'll fix it. Going back and forth. Hey, we can't stop anybody. Jaden Daniels goes, I'll fix it. Do they have another guy like that? I don't think so. I like these players. I like what we got out of Zach Ertz last year. I was stunned by that, quite frankly. I thought you'd get some of it. Sometimes he's hurt, sometimes he's back. But I thought it would be a mix and match and some up and down. He got better as the season went. He was phenomenal for them. I don't think they have enough blue chip guys. The big case that you could make to me is that Tunsil belongs on that list. I'm still bullish, but it doesn't seem like the rest of the league is. Darius, I ask you, as a gentleman that's plugged in to Local 53 and a fan, do they have enough high-end guys, and does Tunsil belong there?
I'm definitely a little bit shocked that Tunsil wasn't on the list. I do think that he belonged there. And I think the only other person that you could maybe make the case for would have been Frankie Louvu. A guy who played a pretty high level for the team last year and made an all-pro defensive team last year. But other than that, yeah, I do think this team lacks the amount of high-end talent that it takes to be recognized in this manner, in this fashion. And again, you mentioned it before, it has a lot to do with all the first-round pick misses that we've had.
Yep.
over the last few years due to the Ron Rivera regime and the Marty Party and crew. So that's the part that hurts the most. If there's guys that are currently on the roster that could potentially be that, maybe Sainer still eventually is one of those guys. Maybe a Trey Amos is eventually one of those guys, but they're too young at this point to be able to consider them that. So yeah, it sucks that the Ron Rivera era put us so far behind in that category of having the amount of blue chip players that it takes to be recognized in that fashion.
Because again, I'm a Tunsil guy. I thought the move was correct. I love him. I'm happy he's here, right? Is he better right now this minute than Jordan Mailata?
No.
Lane Johnson?
No.
Is he better right now than Tristan Wirfs?
No.
Is he better right now than Penei Sewell?
Nope.
Is he better right now than, let me think.
Trent Williams?
Trent?
Yeah.
Right? Deion Dawkins is on this list. I would take Tunsil over Deion Dawkins.
Yeah, they're probably in the same category, I would say, anything.
But he's 97th on this list. So
right.
if he's off and Tunsil's on, fine. But the point is, he's in that conversation, also receiving votes kind of a guy. 800-636-1067. Umar and Sterling, do the Local 53 have enough high-end talent?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you guys in regards to Tunsil, and I think someone just mentioned Louvu as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another player, I mean, if he can prove to be healthy this year, I mean, Debo Samuel, I mean, you were mentioning a guy like Jason Tatum, right, who can get us out of a jam. Terry's running deep. You need something underneath, a guy that can turn a hitch route or a quick out to 20, 30 yards. I mean, Debo Samuel, if healthy, can do that. And then obviously his ability out of the backfield is something that teams are going to have to game plan for along with Jaden. So I think if healthy, I think Debo Samuel could be one of those blue chip type players. And then, yeah, I mean, I think a guy like Sanders still, if he has another year like he did last year, could, you know, really ascend as well. I agree. At this time, I don't think we have enough. But we do have a few guys that I think have some prove-it type years this year. And, you know, we could be looking at this a lot differently next year with these guys.
Appreciate you. And I hope that's 100% right, by the way. Now, for Sanders still, I don't know. I think he's close. This is going to sound dismissive, and it's not. You need that. You draft a guy in the second round, he starts for you, and is just a good player. I don't know how much more upside Sanders still has. And again, that sounds like I'm knocking him. I'm not at all. That guy's good. I think this is what you're looking at, though, which is a guy that's probably better in the slot, that can play outside, that gives you versatility. So think of it if you're an offensive coordinator, right? And you're going to go, hey, I can motion a certain guy against a look that I like and make the slot corner play on the outside. Ha-ha, that'll be great for my matchup. So I got Sanders still there. And I got Jonathan Jones doing it the other way. So you got kind of one of those two guys that I think are two A's in terms of a corner where you could play inside, got the versatility also to succeed outside. Again, there's nothing wrong with that, and you need that. I don't know, though, that Sanders still is going to turn into Sauce Gardner, right? And I think that's okay. I'd like a Sauce Gardner, by the way, but I don't know that you just get one. Does that make sense? Dean in Leesburg. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Always listen. I'm going to take the opposite approach, which is I think the player profile these guys hire to is not really to a blue chip like kind of prospect, right? I mean, it's more like the Patriots during their run. They turned over talent again and again and again, but they always drafted and recruited and traded for a certain persona, right? And I think that's true in all these guys.
Mm.
It does come to the point you always need a couple. But I don't think you need to load up with blue chips. They did go to the NFC Championship game, and they did it with a player perfect. I mean, everybody was talking about the locker room, right? Every single one of these guys was either a former captain. They went through the process of fitting the profile. So I don't think you need it. And I think the ones they've got, they could make some upgrades in some places, but I think what Adam Peters is doing is fantastic. He's developing a culture. And I think the culture eats strategy and culture eats talent every day. Now, I mean, that's my take. But I would take exception that you need to go out and get a bunch of blue chippers. They did it last year, and they're going to do it again.
Dean, appreciate you. So here's my response to that. It's a very good call. Appreciate you making it. Who'd they trade for? See what I'm saying? I think if you ask these guys, you'd want blue chippers that obviously fit your mold. But the idea that they didn't want to upgrade talent, I think you got to look at their actions. They went and traded away draft picks. They didn't have a ton of them to go get Laremy Tunsil, right? They upgraded with Deebo Samuel. That not doesn't necessarily fit the profile of guys that they drafted, this quote-unquote commander tag, whatever that means. But you're right in the sense that in the absence of that, you want do-your-job Patriot-style dudes. Totally fair and totally right on. I think in general, you're doing that. If you can't get the star, the next best thing is guy that's going to dominate his role, the Jeremy Reeves corollary, right? I want a, I'm blanking on the guy's name, the linebacker, Nick Ballore, that all he ever did was play hard. Who's the first guy down on every special team's punt kick, punt coverage, this, that, and the other? Him, Jeremy Reeves, et cetera. You need that too. I'm not telling you don't. And that's what they majored in, you're 100% right. But I think if you ask them, you're willing to do some concessions here and there. They went in and got Marshawn Lattimore. Right? Because they needed some help there. That's not just a grinder, a worker, another Sanders still. That's a dude that's going to march to the beat of his own drum. But it's a good call. I appreciate you making it. I just think that the truth is probably somewhere in between. Speaking of that, we're not speaking of that. Totally terrible transition. You weren't speaking of the truth being somewhere in between in terms of player acquisition than talking about the NBA. So anyway, the association. We're already in the offseason, baby. It's hot and heavy. A major star was traded, and then another star was traded. An Olympian was traded. We'll get into what's going on, the latest from the association, and we've got some draft talk for you. Nick Shook joins the program at 3:25 post-Meridian to break down his thought that the Local 53 is going to be one of the most improved teams in the entire NFL. We'll talk about that next.
We'll be right back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to the program, G&D, with you until 6:30 this evening. Some good stuff planned for you. Nick Shook listed the local 53 among his most improved teams heading in the next season. We'll break that down with him at 3:30. We'll get you the latest on the NBA draft, which is tomorrow night. But speaking of the association, the trades, hot right now. The trades, so hot. Kevin Durant over the weekend. And by the way, just this is my quick little editorial. This is me, Danny Rouillet, talking. Let's not do this the day of the Game 7 in the finals. Can we agree to that? Can we make it Monday? Or like Tuesday? Have a little moratorium? I can't stand one of my long-running complaints here over the last couple of years about the association is it's more about the dramatics than it is the basketball. You've got the ultimate showcase for basketball, a Game 7, which did incredibly well in the ratings, by the way. Right up there with the NCAA championship game, the most watched finals game for the NBA. I think it's 6 or 7 years. Roughly half of what it was, by the way, when it was LeBron and Cleveland versus Golden State, but I digress. Still very, very good. Big numbers, right? And yet, the talk all day is a Kevin Durant trade. Not Kevin Durant's fault or the Suns' fault or Houston's fault for this deal. Just, I wouldn't allow it. I'd say you can consummate it, but just let's not announce it. Let's have the focus be on the two teams playing for the biggest prize we got. They don't do that, though. Whatever. I would, but that's just me, and that's my little TED Talk. Something I want to remind everybody, this is just, again, for my own little fun, a little bit of fun. Phoenix had very little leverage when it came to trading Kevin Durant. I'm just offering this to people. They got more than Dallas did for Luka Doncic. Everybody cool? Everybody good to go with that? Just to remind you, Dallas got Anthony Davis back, a dude named Max Christie, who frankly I don't know very much about, and a 2029 first-round pick back. The Lakers got Luka, Max Kleber, and Markieff Morris just sort of thrown in to make the dollars work. Phoenix got Jalen Green, a really nice young player who didn't have a great postseason as a young player. Dylan Brooks, the Canadian pain in the butt, who is a good piece. The 10th pick in this year's draft and 5 second-round picks to send Kevin Durant to Houston. And Houston, by the way, is now a team that on paper looks pretty good. But again, sort of like 11 teams in the Western Conference, but that is another digression. The move yesterday is Drew Holiday, Team USA guard, a really, really nice piece, instrumental, and I can tag Tobes in if I'm wrong, instrumental in that Bucks championship team a couple years ago. Like that sort of defensive-minded point guard that hits the occasional big shot for you but isn't an offensive focus, underrated, I think, by a lot of folks. A huge piece on that championship team. Boston wanted some of that juice, so they made that move when Milwaukee went for the kind of that the golden fleece there to trade for Damian Lillard. Holiday becomes expendable. He goes to Boston. It didn't quite work there for whatever reason. I thought it would, by the way. I thought it would be excellent. They wanted out of the Drew Holiday business, who's got several years left on his deal. They send him to Portland for Anthony Simons, a guy that nobody knows about because he plays at midnight on Wednesdays in the Pacific Northwest, and tens of people have seen his game. I like him as a player, 20-point-per-game guy on a very, frankly, mediocre to below-average Portland team, 35-36 win group. But a nice piece, certainly. I think he could be a nice complimentary third banana there in Boston eventually when Jason Tatum comes back. But in the short term, they're basically getting out of the money that's owed to Drew Holiday and getting into the shorter-term Simons deal. if they like him and he blossoms and develops, he's still a young piece, maybe that turns into something smart and good there for Boston as they kind of are building in the near term without Tatum, in the long term having Tatum back at some point, right? But now we've got the furious movement that's taking place. I mean, you've got guys like Bradley Beal, who's probably going to get bought out, or maybe he already has. I know DeMar DeRozan is going to be team shopping, and there's a few bits of odds and ends. I was actually texting with our buddy Linnell last night, and he said, do you think Wizards fans would want Bradley Beal back? Because he's like, you know, not that far away from being the all-time franchise-leading scorer and a bunch of other things, and is that something they would want to do? I was like, maybe they would. I tell you that I'd rather have you, Anthony Haney, Ryan Clary, and Darius getting shots up 20 a night for the Wizards than have him come back. And I like Bradley Beal. We're not matching up. That's not what we want right now. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to like go through the dance. Too much symbolism there. And by the way, he's not on one of the any of the odds makers lists. Wizards aren't even listed as one of the potential favorites according to Bet Online. But yeah, that's kind of the latest going on in the association. It is going to be a busy offseason here. And I'm actually interested in it. I don't like when the offseason is during the regular season and every NBA show is about the offseason. When it is the offseason and teams are kind of trying to adjust to what they just saw from OKC and how can we be Indiana, I like it when stuff like that happens. Because you can't just go, hey, let's try to be Miami with LeBron, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh. You can't do that, right? You could try, but most markets can't. Indiana makes you go, ooh, maybe we can, right? Maybe we can make a move or two. And I think it's going to be an intriguing offseason in the association. And my hope is, by the way, the Wizards aren't ready to jump up and be one of the big players just yet, but you could be the Utah in that deal. Utah was the third team in that Lakers-Mavericks deal, and they just get benefits. They'll get like a pick here or there, or like some money or something like that. I just want you to have assets and pieces and be parts of conversations. That's where they are, and that's where they should be. Speaking of the draft, we'll get you the latest on the draft, the NBA draft, tomorrow. Go through some of my favorite prospects, guys I like, guys I don't. We'll hear from Tobes, Darius and Ryan as well on that. Want to hear from you guys, who you're into. And again, Nick Shook joins us at 3:30. That's next hour on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.